This is Christian Meditation for a Bigger Life, where you can break through the distractions, stop, listen, and experience God's presence through biblically guided imagination. I'm Dave Cover. I want to help you with Christian meditation so you can draw near to God and get the stress and anxiety out of your mind and out of your heart and out of your body so you can live a bigger life. Let's begin by lying flat on your back if you can. Otherwise, just sit comfortably in a chair. Uncross your legs and arms. And try to close your eyes if you can so that you can better imagine reality with the eyes of your heart. This is a time for you to stop and relax and refocus and re-narrate your life through biblically guided imagination. So take in a deep breath in through your nose, deep into your belly, and let your out-breath be longer than your in-breath. Each time you breathe in through your nose, a calm, deep, quiet, new breath, deep into your belly, and breathe out a longer, calm breath as you focus your mind on feeling your body from within. See if you can reintegrate your mind with your body with each breath, feeling the new air coming into your body through your nose, into your belly. Deep breath. And as you breathe out, focusing your mind on feeling your body let go of holding yourself up. Feeling your body drop toward the ground more and more with each out-breath. Each out-breath, you're focusing your mind on your body letting go of clenched muscles, tension all throughout your body. Each out-breath, there's some place in your body you can relax a little bit more. And you're feeling that sensation of relaxation in your whole body. A calm, slow rhythm of breathing. Each out-breath, you're feeling somewhere in your body release tightness, tension, easing, letting go. Letting go of the tightness. Letting go of clenched muscles. When you're ready, take in a deep breath and hold it. And then take a second deep breath and hold that one as well, so you have two breaths in your belly. When it becomes slightly uncomfortable, breathe out through your mouth an audible sigh. And feel that sensation in your whole body of your body letting go a little bit more. We're going to do it again, but this time when you breathe out, focus on breathing all the air out of your lungs. Let's try it again. Take in a deep breath in through your nose, sending the air deep into your belly, and hold it. And now take a second breath and hold that one as well. And when it becomes uncomfortable, breathe out through your mouth a sigh of relief. And try to empty all the air out of your lungs. Calmly, you're not pushing it. You're just letting it come out. And now breathe normally. In through your nose. And your out-breath being longer than your in-breath as you focus your mind on feeling your body from within. And feeling every muscle in your body ease, relax, let go, drop toward the ground. breathing in through your nose, a deep breath. And as you breathe out, you're imagining every cell in your body, every muscle falling like water. Just flowing like water downstream. And you're feeling that sensation of relaxation all throughout your body. You no longer have to hold yourself up. This is a time where you can not have to present a face to the world. You can let every muscle in your face drop. Your cheeks, your jaw, your forehead, your scalp, your neck, shoulders. Breathing in through your nose and breathing out this sense that your whole body is able to fall toward the ground. In our past few meditations, we've been looking at what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6 about the real spiritual warfare every Christian has. And he says in verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." And again, I just want to say quickly that word devil, it's not really a title, it's not really a name. It's just translating a Greek word that means the slanderer. In other words, all the devil's schemes are slander in one form or another. Some kind of lie that undermines your ability to have a relationship. So slander against God, slander against others, slander against you, bringing memory of shame in your life, tempting you to sin, and then after you sin, shaming you for it, accusing you to isolate you from others, to make you walk in shame, to see yourself as a false self, and to constantly feel disconnected from God. So Paul uses something that requires imagination, this outfitting ourselves with battle armor against the devil's schemes. And so he says certain things that become metaphors for things that we have to embrace in our imagination if we're going to be able to fight against the devil's schemes. We talked in our last episode about taking up, he says, the helmet of salvation. This helmet we put on ourselves to protect us, to protect our thoughts, protect our mind, protect our head, protect our life from the devil's slander, by being able to envision the reality of our salvation. Salvation is not, I believe in Jesus so that I can have my sins forgiven and go to heaven when I die. That's not salvation in the Bible. I mean, it involves that temporarily, but salvation in the Bible is restoration. Restoration to the glory, to this bigger story that God originally created humanity to live. So when Jesus died on the cross, he took death, sin, all this Genesis 3 world of thorns and thistles and dust and death, upon his body into the grave with him, into death with him. And when he rose from the dead, he rose as the first of a new creation, a new humanity. So the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:14, "By his power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." You're going to have a resurrection just like Jesus. So he says in Philippians 3:20 and 21, that he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. His glorious body is what the disciples were given a vision of at Jesus' transfiguration when he took Peter, James, and John up the mountain with him. And as he was praying, his appearance, his face, his body changed. And Luke says in Luke 9:28-29 that he became as bright as a flash of lightning. Matthew says in Matthew 17:1-2 that his face shone like the sun. His clothes, his body became as bright as light. That was a picture, temporary window into seeing the real Jesus, shining like the sun, bright as lightning, this glory that was truly him and is him now after his resurrection and ascension into heaven. That's why Paul, when he saw the risen Jesus, saw him as bright as the sun. Now, I have a feeling that this showing is something about glory through image. That real glory is something that is too bright for us in our Genesis 3 world. But when we are in the resurrected world, it will not be intolerably bright. All those who are followers of Jesus will be transformed into the image of his glorious body. Like Jesus says in Matthew 13:43, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So Jesus intended his transfiguration to be a picture of the kingdom of God, the glory, the beauty, the righteousness, the future glory of all those who are his people, future glory of this world, when he comes back to restore all things. So Paul says in Romans 8:18, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's interesting he says in us. The glory that will be revealed in us when Jesus returns, when we have a resurrection like his, when our body is transformed into a body like his glorious body, where we will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. So he goes on a few verses later, and the glory that will be revealed in us is, he says, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, he says. The redemption of your body. This is the hope of your salvation. When you put on the helmet of salvation, you're imagining your body being fully redeemed, shining like the sun, like Jesus' transfigured body, transformed into a body like his glorious body. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing, Paul says, with the glory that will be revealed in us. The redemption of our bodies. This is our hope of our salvation. This is what we are confidently expecting because God has become human in the person of Jesus. He's already died. He's already risen from the dead. He's ascended to heaven. And when he returns, he's going to bring heaven back to earth. A resurrection to all those who are his, like his resurrected body. He was the first of a new creation, a new humanity. So Paul says a few verses after that, that ultimately the redemption of our bodies is to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Jesus is the firstborn. His resurrection is the firstborn, so to speak, of a new humanity. And so Paul says, those he justified, he also glorified. This is a future event for us, but because Jesus has already done it in the sense of dying and rising from the dead, it's already as good as done. Glorified is in the past tense. Even though it's a future event for us, you've been made righteous and therefore already glorified. You don't feel glorified. This is not where you are in the timeline, but it's how God sees you, because he sees you now as you will be then, That's how God sees you. And that's how you need to see you, through your biblically guided imagination. Put on the helmet of your salvation so that you can take your stand against the slanderer's slander, the devil's schemes. Yes, you have things that make you unworthy of God, but Jesus has taken all those things on his body on the cross, and he has risen from the dead to be the firstborn of a new humanity, and you are going to be born into that humanity in your resurrection. He will transform your lowly body, your body of shame, into a body like his glorious body. So use your biblically guided imagination. Take in a deep breath in through your nose, into your belly. And as you breathe out, imagine Jesus' transfiguration being a picture not only of the kingdom of God, but a picture of you in the kingdom of God. You will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father, Jesus said. And you are already justified and glorified. You already are glorified in God's eyes because of what Jesus has already done. Your present sufferings, whatever they are, failures, shames, difficulties, real trials, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in you. The redemption of your body. You're going to be conformed. Your body, everything is going to be conformed to the image, the glorious image of his Son. He is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. You have been justified, made righteous before God because of Jesus already. And in the mystery of things, because of who God is, you have already been glorified, Paul says, already. Not yet, but already. Imagine glory filling your body right now, already. Not yet, but already, in God's eyes. Already as good as done. Jesus' glory, his face shone like lightning, shining as bright as the sun, filling your body, replacing shame, replacing worry, replacing fear, replacing anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, with glory, with light, beauty, righteousness, joy, love. Your body filled with the glory of God. He will transform your body to be like his glorious body, and you therefore have already been glorified in God's eyes. Good is done. Take in another deep breath in through your nose into your belly and hold it for a moment. Add to it a second breath and hold it as well. And as you breathe out, imagine this. Your present sufferings are not worth even comparing with the glory that will be revealed in you. The redemption of your body. Being conformed to the image of Christ. The glorious image of Christ, filling your body even now.
Thanks for listening to Christian Meditation for a Bigger Life. If you found this podcast helpful, please give us a rating in your podcast app so others can find it more easily. It really does help. And consider sharing this episode with a friend. Our audio engineers are Diego Huaman and Matthew Matlack. Look for new episodes each Tuesday and Thursday morning.